Excellent. Thank you, Lori. Welcome to the part two of the NORS training. We are glad that all of you joined us today. I just wanted to reiterate that the training is the basic training using the AOA modules for NORS training. And today the focus is on coding complaints. And obviously the intent of doing the training is to increase the consistency in reporting. I want to give you kind of the basics of where we're going today. We're going to review the basic principles for coding complaints. We're going to review the major complaint code categories, not all the codes, but the categories. We're going to go through the complaint coding quiz and give you the answers. We're not going to read all those quiz scenarios, but we're going to give you the answers. So I hope you have your hard copy in front of you so you can self-grade. Then we're going to highlight specific quiz scenarios that we know that there are some questions regarding usually and give you a little bit of tips and clarification around why it's one thing and not another. If we have time, we will take some questions, as Lori indicated, but the primary emphasis today is to go through the complaint categories, give you some basic understanding of that, and then go through the answers to the quiz. But all of your questions, whether they're through the chat or you email us later, will be answered and we'll get back to you, even though they may not be answered on the call today. There's another part of this part two training, and it's beyond the basics. We are not doing that today just because the quiz itself is rather lengthy. So with that, I just want to let you know that we're delighted once again that Louise Ryan is joining us from the Administration on Aging. She's the Ombudsman Program Specialist. And Shelley Hitt, the Colorado State Ombudsman, is also chair of the WINC, which is Working to Improve NORS Consistency. Before we start going over the complaint coding categories, I'd like to ask Louise and Shelley if they have a few comments they want to make today. Louise?
Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining the call. And I will be fairly brief. I think the importance of complaint coding is, one, that you are understanding what the initial issue is that's brought to you and that you identify it correctly. But all of those complaints add up, and it's the big picture that is so important to do broader systems advocacy. And so, you know, I think from the AOA perspective, we look at the complaints to look at what are the predominant themes, and we share that information, again, with Congress and other policymakers. And then for you and your state, you know, this information in terms of your complaints and how they add up can be used, you know, in regulatory meetings with the legislature, educating the public through the media. So, you know, we want to try and help you get it as good as you can and identifying the issues that are going on in your state. And I think the training today will, I hope, will help to give you confidence in yourself that you know what you're doing and give you guidance for some of those trickier situations. And I'll just leave it at that for now.
Thanks, Louise. Shelley, do you have a couple words you want to say?
Sure. Hello, fellow ombudsman. Just a reminder that the WINC, the Work Group to Improve NORS Consistency, is a group of state and local ombudsmen that are meeting regularly to try and answer some of these consistency and coding questions that we all have. I will remind you that inevitably today and in the days to come, you will have additional questions or things that you've wondered about. My contact information is there on slide 3, and it's later in the PowerPoint, so feel free to email me or give me a call with remaining questions that you have. And just to assure you that this group of state and local ombudsmen who has been working on this issue for quite some time is very committed to the issue we're talking about today in terms of trying to identify the right code for the complaints and the issues that we address in our advocacy. As Louise said, it really shows the patterns of resident concerns and also shows the changes over time. And I know that we in Colorado have seen the concerns change. So it's important to pay some attention to the coding that you use for your complaints. So Sarah?
Thanks, Shelley. So let's plunge in. If you have in hard copy in front of you the coding complaints, the basic principles, I would suggest that you pull that out. That's one document that's been tweaked a bit to try to make it a lot easier to understand. Bottom line, there are a few basic principles to always keep in mind. One complaint has only one complaint code. Sometimes as you start working on complaints, other complaints may arise, but one complaint equals one code. The categories of coding, A through M, those categories are complaints against the facility. The facility should have done something or didn't do something right or whatever, but it's complaints against the facility. Categories N through Q are complaints not against the facility, and you see on the slide the breakdown N through O are against the licensing, certification, or Medicaid. P is complaints against or involving individuals who are not facility staff, managers, and not the Medicaid agency. Q is for complaints about services in other settings by outside providers. And I want to also point out that complaints A through M, complaints against the facility, also include board and peer assisted living, all the facilities that ombudsmen are required to visit and make their services accessible to residents as per your Older Americans Act mandate. Another few points, this whole area around coding abuse and neglect, you use the categories in Group A, abuse, gross neglect, exploitation, only for serious complaints of willful mistreatment of residents by facility staff, management, other residents. You also will find some abuse complaints and categories in Section P. Those two you see highlighted, 117 and 121, are for complaints of abuse, neglect, exploitation by family members, friends, and others whose actions the facility could not reasonably be expected to oversee or regulate. So here again, it's whether or not it's willful and whether or not it's something that the facility should have paid attention to, know about, do something related to. Otherwise, there's a good chance it fits in P. So you have to think about abuse instead of grabbing the first category that you come across for abuse. For all categories in Part A, you use the definitions in the Older Americans Act. There are a couple of more points to make. One is you use the NORS code for any allegation of abuse or other complaint if the complaint is made to the ombudsman and requires ombudsman involvement, action, and resolution. So, for instance, if your ombudsman program routinely gets copies of abuse self-reports from facilities or any other source, and your program is just getting a copy of that abuse allegation, but the ombudsman is not out being actively involved, having some role with investigation and acting to resolve it, then it is not automatically an ombudsman case. So you don't put those kinds of situations in NORS. The second point is if the ombudsman and another agency are both actively involved in complaint investigation and resolution, you can count that as an ombudsman case. Why? Because you're actively involved in taking some action. Complaint code categories, another little tip. We are going to give you an overview of each major category. You can think of this kind of as your keyword index. When you're trying to think about which code fits, go to the keywords and then find the specific number. And you ask, what's the primary element of the complaint? To be able to quickly identify the best category. I think a lot of times ombudsmen start thinking about all the complexities and the what if, and well, it could be this or it could be that, or I may have to fix a staffing issue, and you are spending way too much time. The major category is the major thing that pops out when somebody presents a complaint to you. The first category is that A, abuse, gross neglect, and exploitation, and we just went over that when we looked at the basic principles. The next category of complaint codes, the big category, topic head, keyword, is access to information by resident or resident's representative. Shelley, would you just quickly review those bullet points for us, please?
Sure. This grouping of complaint categories includes access to information or assistance made by or on behalf of the resident or the resident's representative. You use B9 if the ombudsman is denied access in response to a complaint. You can look at B14, D29, and M96, which all involve communication and language barriers and yet are different. We'll get to more of those as we move on in terms of the differences. For example, B14 is used if information regarding rights, the medical condition, benefits, and services is not communicated in an understandable language.
Thanks, Shelley. C, admission, transfer, discharge, and eviction. Shelley?
These are complaints involving placement, both within or outside of the facility. If the resident requests assistance in transferring to another facility and there is no stated problem or complaint, then record it as information and assistance, otherwise known as a consultation, to an individual. However, if a resident requests assistance in moving out of the facility, but there are no feasible alternative options, recorded as P128, request for less restrictive placement, since the problem is a lack of care alternatives within the long-term care system. That was a mouthful.
It was. Thank you. I'm glad you were reading that. D, autonomy, choice, preference, exercise of rights, and privacy. Shelley?
These are complaints involving the resident's right, as stated in the category. If it is a related problem, but not one specific to this heading, use a different category. For example, if the resident is permitted to choose her personal physician, but that physician is unavailable, use P125. Note that D29, B14, and again M96 all involve communication and language barriers and yet are different. D29 is if the resident has a communication or language barrier, and M96 is if the staff have a communication or language barrier.
Great. I think this is another example of why you go to the big category for what jumps out at you, but it also involves thinking through from what direction is the communication issue coming, or what direction is physician services coming from, in terms of knowing which big category to go to. So you have to think about it a little bit. E, financial property except financial exploitation. Shelley?
Complaints involving non-criminal mismanagement or carelessness with the resident's funds and property or billing problems. Again, remember that all of these categories have to do with behavior by the facility and facility staff. So, you would use A4 for complaints involving willful financial exploitation, including but not limited to criminal activity. So we're talking about severe and willful financial exploitation. Later on, we'll talk a little more about P121, which is activity by folks not associated with the facility or not facility staff, different kinds of financial exploitation.
Thanks. Complaints about care.
Complaints involving negligence, lack of attention, and poor quality in the care of residents. If the care situation is so poor that the resident is in a condition of overall neglect, which is threatening to their health and or life, use A5, which is gross neglect.
Thanks. G, rehabilitation or maintenance of function.
You use these codes for complaints involving failure to provide needed rehabilitation or services necessary to maintain the expected level of functioning.
H, restraints, both chemical and physical.
Pretty straightforward. Complaints involving the use of physical or chemical restraint.
I, activities and social services.
This is complaints involving social services for residents and social interaction of residents. Note that all transportation complaints about transportation are included in Category 65 because community interaction is sometimes but not always dependent upon transportation.
There again, it's one of those where you have to think a little bit about what the real dynamic is that's going on the face of the complaint. Okay, J, dietary.
Complaints involving food and fluid intake. Use the appropriate category under A, the abuse section, for willful cases of food deprivation.
So the key there is the willful. All right, K, environment or safety.
Broad category, complaints involving the physical environment of the facility and the residence space.
L, policies, procedures, attitudes, and resources.
Acts of commission or omission by facility managers, operators, or owners in areas other than staffing or specific problems included in previous sections. This seems to me sort of another word would be administrative kinds of complaints, process systems at the facility level.
Right, that's a good way to think of that. ILM, staffing.
Complaints involving staff unavailability, training, turnover, and supervision. And one of the things that I noticed is if the complaint is about a specific type of care, positioning or toileting, it goes somewhere else, even though maybe one of the underlying problems may be staffing. It looks like this category is specifically unavailability, poor staff training, frequent turnover, or supervision of staff.
Correct. Okay, now we get to the big grouping of complaints that are the complaints not against the facility.
So these are complaints involving decisions, policies, actions, or inactions by state agencies which license the facilities and certify them for participation in Medicare and Medicaid. So you have your licensing and certification agency, your state Medicaid agency, and then others in the system, complaints against or involving individuals who are not managers or staff of facilities or of the state's licensing and certification or Medicaid agency. Sarah, do you have an example of what that might be?
Right off the top of my head, I don't. I have a feeling it's on the quiz, so we need to make sure we pay attention to that. And there's one more section under the complaints not against the facility.
That's Q. Services in settings other than long-term care facilities or by an outside provider. Complaints are accepted and acted upon by the ombudsman involving individuals living in private residences, hospitals, or in hospice care, and congregate and or shared housing not providing personal care, also used for services in a facility provided by an outside provider.
Great. Thank you, Shelley. What I would like for everyone to do now is to pull out your quiz, if you don't have it in front of you, and look at your answers. We're going over the correct answers, and a few of these items in the quiz, through as we go through the quiz, we'll have some polling on, so you can just key in your answer to one specific item, like we did on the previous call. But for Section A, we don't have that. So what I'd like to do is let you know that the correct answer is right up where you see the yellow numbers, and that's the item number on the quiz. The answer is over under the answer section, which is A4, A1, A6. So item number one, the answer is A4. Item number two, the answer is A1. Item number three is 6. Item number four, the answer is A5. Item number five, the answer is A3. Item number six, the answer is A2. And for the sake of training, I'm sure you noticed on the quiz that you have a finite multiple choice range to look at to try to decide which of all the answers might be most applicable to the situation in front of you. So that's one way to help you think about things, and that's been kind of a tip. Louise? I think there's something, one of these that you wanted to mention to kind of give people an example of how to think about what goes in this section and one that maybe kind of people have questions about.
Well, yeah, I just kind of want to give a word of caution because I've seen in the past that sometimes an ombudsman will just look at the short code description, like financial exploitation, and not pay attention to the where it is in the grand scheme of things. Like they might jump to P121, which is financial exploitation by somebody outside of the facility when they really want to get it in the A category. So just that word to kind of pay attention to your topic area. I guess I was trying to think of a good example, and I think I came up with the kind of big mega grocery store or mega store that sells everything from groceries to electronics to pharmacy. So, you know, you want to get in the right department. And so that's just kind of the word of caution. With, in particular, I've seen this with financial exploitation. Really think through who's the cause of the exploitation.
Great, thank you. So let's move to Section B. It's looking like we may have a few moments for some questions in just a few minutes after we go through a few sections of the quiz. For B, there is a polling question that we want to ask people. So if you look at item B2 on your quiz, which is, a resident has not received any information about the facility services, billing charges, or residence rights in German, though it is the resident's primary language. Just key in your correct answer. And I've given you a choice of three, B12, B13, B14. So whatever you have for your quiz answer, just plug it into the screen. And there you see the results. 96% of you who responded online said that it's B14. Some of you thought it was B12. So let's go and see what all the answers are under Section B. Item number one, the answer is B9. Number two, the answer is B14. Three, it's B11. Four is B8. Five is B13. Six is B10. 7 is B12. Louise, did you want to comment on one of these?
Well, just a reminder, I must say that over time, and I think there's myself included, Ombudsman wanted to try and get this so right and get so specific that I think sometimes we made it a little bit harder than it maybe needs to be. But this is what we have now. These are the Norse codes that, you know, you need to use. And so, you know, again, we have these three different complaints related to language. And so remember about what department you're in or what topic you're in. This is about access to information by the resident in their own language. So it's not about the staff language skills. It's not about the resident's inability to communicate with staff about care issues or something like that. It's about, say, that resident receiving a written document in their own language or having the translator to review information. So again, you want to just kind of look at that theme. What is the overall theme and get in the right topic area.
Thanks, Louise. Now we move to Section C, which is admission, transfer, discharge, eviction, and we have one item there selected for a poll. It is item number two. A Medicaid-certified nursing home will not admit residents unless they guarantee that they will not apply for Medicaid for 1 year and can prove that they have at least $100,000 in liquid assets. Please key in your responses. Okay, we have a kind of a range of responses on that one. So let's take a look and see what the answer is. And that's exactly, if you look at the range, that's exactly what we were hoping this quiz would do, and I say we, I had nothing to do with the design of it, is to try to help people understand if there's a various ones that maybe would apply, how do you think through which one is the best fit for a given situation? So if you look at all of Section C, item number one, the correct answer is 22. Item two, the answer is 21. Item 3, the answer is 18. Item 4, the answer is 17. Item 5, the answer is 20. Item 6, the answer is 19. Item 7, the answer is 16.
And I think this one is, I found this one pretty tricky, and this is one where you really have to kind of go back and look at the definition and get at the heart of the issue. And in this one, the heart of the issue is a barrier to admission due to the person's Medicaid status. People on Medicaid typically don't have $100,000 in liquid assets, so they're basically trying to prohibit people on Medicaid from admission. And so it is also, I would say, in C-16, the contract might contain illegal wording or requiring a waiver of rights or a guarantee of payment. So it's similar, but again, getting at the heart of the issue, this your key word here is Medicaid. They're putting up a Medicaid barrier, and so that then it becomes that discrimination because of the Medicaid specific angle here.
Thank you, Louise. We have just a little bit of time now. If anyone has a question about one of the quiz sections that we've covered, A, B, or C, you can let us know. Some of you have asked questions about other parts of the coding that we will get to later, and we will address those, but just not right at this break. So if you had a question about one of the correct answers that we gave in A, B, or C, let us know, and we have just a few minutes when we'll stop and discuss that.
Thank you. Please stand by.